spent a lot of time in the last year, more Nochah Shabbos than Yeradeya, trying just to understand why in Nochah Shabbos we find this phenomenon that Kli Rishon is a problem of Bishul, and Kli Sheni, at least the simple reading of the Gemara, is Kli Sheni Einu Mevashel. There are some Rishonim, Tosfos quotes an opinion from the Ri, that even though the Gemara says Kli Sheni Einu Mevashel, that only means B'deraisa. The way the Rabbanim for sure is a problem. Mechzik and Mevashel, even on Shabbos. So that takes a lot of the sting out of Halacha Mai. A lot of the kulas may have just disappeared to thin air with that statement. But we're still in the world of deraisa. So Kli Rishon is a problem, and Kli Sheni Einu Mevashel. So we had a lot of different possibilities why that distinction is so, either based on the Yishalmi or based on the Tosfos about the Fun of the Karos, based on the Derech Bishul. A lot of possible ways to explain the differences. The question is, does any of this really matter for us? We're not learning Shabbos, we're learning Yeradeya now. Does this distinction of Kli Rishon versus Kli Sheni really make a difference? So the Rashba quotes a major machlokes that predated the Rashba. He quotes two different opinions in the Rishonim about whether the klolim of Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni are only for Shabbos, or whether they spill over to Yeradeya as well. So the half of the Rishonim had this theory that Bishul and Bliyas go hand in hand. What can be Mevashel can be Mevliya, what can't be Mevashel can't be Mevliya. According to that view, and this is very, very important, so we have to make sure we have Kli Rishon in front of us. Anything short of a Kli Rishon is not really going to be a problem of Bliyas, at least Minaraisa, for sure not, and probably not at all. Not going to be any problems at all if you hold that Bishul and Bliyas go hand in hand. But then the Rashba quotes another view. It says, no, that Bliyas l'chud or Bishul l'chud, that you can have Bliyas even in situations where you don't have real formal bishul. So one of the rayas that the Rashba brings is a sugya that we spoke about in the past, the sugya beginning of Maseches Chulin. So the Gemara talks about the shechting an animal with a tray for knife. So what are the ramifications in terms of bliyas, exiting the knife and going into the animal? What the Gemara talks about the other way around, if you shecht an animal, turns out to treifa, now what does that affect the knife? So the Gemara has all kinds of discussions of bliyas in the Beis HaShechita. So the Gemara discusses, is the Beis HaShechita Roseach, is the Beis HaShechita Tzoynein, is that a problem or not? So the Rashba quotes that that discussion, is the Beis HaBliya Roseach? What is Roseach? But it's 212 degrees. It's not so Roseach. Says the Rashba, it's actually so hot. You're having a machlokes whether it's Roseach or whether it's Tzoynein or not. So that means the line of demarcation, it's somewhere in the middle. And we're trying to figure out, Pi Halacha, does that meet the criteria of being Roseach or Tzoynein? So comes the Rashba and says, it's hard for him to believe that a Kli Sheni is going to be less of a problem than the Man D'Yomu says Beis HaShechita is Roseach. If you hold the Beis HaShechita is Roseach, it's not a Kli Rishon Mamish, and still there's a problem of Bliyas, maybe, whether we pass like that or not, but still there's a problem of Bliyas. So Mestama Kli Sheni is not going to be any better off than the Beis HaShechita Roseach. That's a suggestion that the Rashba has. So that's a question, is that really a good Raya? Is it not a good Raya? Maybe one could argue that the Beis HaShechita Roseach, at least that's the source of the heat. That's like cooking on the fire. It's like a very, very low fire. It's just the mere heat coming from the animal's body, but at least that's close to the source of heat. Whereas maybe the whole idea of a Kli Sheni is that it's already far removed from the source of heat. So even though in terms of temperature, maybe it's higher, maybe it's lower, but maybe it's further removed from the heat, so maybe that's less of a problem. So it's not an ironclad raya one way or the other. The bottom line, how do we pass in the halacha? We pass in that there are bliyas and Kli Shenis and huh? So here, even in the poskim Shulchan Aruch and the Sikkim Shulchan Aruch, also it's not an absolute clear answer to this question. So we generally assume that lechatchila we try to avoid Kli Sheni issues. So if things become mixed up in treif, derech Kli Sheni, we'll try if we can to assume that that's a problem. Lechatchila it's a problem. But if it's a big makom hefsed or something, and here you get different gradations as to how big is big and how hefsed is hefsed, so if things are extenuating circumstances, so then we're going to be a little bit more making when it comes to Kli Sheni. So you have different nuances, the way the Ramah phrases it, and the Shach phrases it, and the Taz, for everyone phrases it in their own Lashon. But the bottom line is, everyone kind of is saying the same thing, that we try to avoid issues of Bliyas and Kli Shenis. So if it's very easy to kasha things or to avoid these issues, we try to avoid it. If one's really stuck, then one can make it didn't be makel. Especially if you have other tziruf from other sniff from lokal, so then we're always going to have in our back pocket the fact that Hifter Rishonim say that Bishul and Bliyas really go hand in hand. So this discussion that we've been having all along about just how serious do we define, what exactly is the definition of Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni, is important for us, not just in Shabbos, but it's probably Me'ika Mikra that's important for us in Yeradeya as well. There is a big question that the poskim discussed, both in terms of Shabbos and in terms of Yeradeya, and the answer may not even always be the same, and that's in terms of a very, very specific type of a scenario. Does it meet the criteria called Kli Rishon, or is that already considered to be Kli Sheni? And that's the issue of what's called a Devagush. Devagush means if you have we spoke about Devagush a little bit in Bas B'Cholov. We spoke about it back in Bas B'Cholov days. Okay, so you chazer for a minute, you have a Devagush, you have a big, thick piece of meat, a big hot potato or something. It's a whole solid. So is that considered to be always a Kli Rishon or not? So here the Poskim came up with this idea for a variety of different reasons, but here the Poskim came up with this idea that when do we say there's a difference between Kli Rishons and Kli Shenis? That's when you have liquids. Liquids take the shape of the container, so then they start to cool off and they invoke Tosis's sheet in Barakira, and you have the Fadas Bakaros. When you pour hot water from a pot into a bowl, into a cup, so you have the Fadas Bakaros. First with Kairos, that creates Kli Shenis, etc. When you have a solid piece of food, so there's no defunus, there's nothing, there are no defunus bechlau, so maybe it retains its status of Kli Rishon, even though it's been removed, it's been transferred 15 times over. That was the famous Chumrah. There's some Heter and Yamshah Shlomo and a group of Poskim who had this Chumrah called Davagush. And others disagree. The Ramah says, I've never heard of such a thing, that once it goes into another Kli, so it loses its status. That chiddush of davagush is probably, at least according to some poskim, that's a direct result of Tosa's shita. If you don't follow Tosa's definition, Tosa's is working reason to the differentiate between Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni, and you may not end up in that direction. If you go with Shita Taisus, then it's a very logical conclusion that davagush is always going to be a problem. What was the one of the rayas to davagush? Who remembers? What was one of the big rayas for that the existence of davagush? Did we mention the raya? The sugi of Dagam Sha'olu Bekara was one of the big rayas. Dagam Sha'olu Bekara sounds like we're on a kara, we're not in a pot. According to half the Rishon, if you're in a pot, you don't even have the sugi of Nafanat. So you have Dagam Sha'olu Bekara. The kara is already klisheni. So why we have bliyazer altogether? According to the Mekilim, the Ikra Din, there's no bliyazer and klisheni. The Gemara Zavi Mechlek is Rav and Shmuel, whether Dagam Sha'olu Bekara is mutal yachol, not mutal yachol. Is it so far removed, it's an Nafanat? So we could be Mekil. But it's clear that there are bliyas taking place. If there are no bliyas, there's nothing to talk about. What do you mean, not for not for? There's nothing there. It's a cold. So for the fact that the Gemara entertains the possibility of a problem of Dagam Sha'olu Bekara, even though it sounds like it's a klisheni, you have to conclude it's takana. This is not considered to be a klisheni. Why is it not klisheni? It must be. It's not klisheni because it's the davar gush. That was one of the mashal's rayas. So the Ramah said that he didn't think that was a raya. We didn't quote this discussion. So the Ramah writes in Daki Moshe, he doesn't think that's a raya, because there is what's called derech iroy. Now we haven't even spoken about iroy yet. We'll talk about that in a moment. But the machloik is about davagush and klisheni means when the davagush has already been placed down on the klisheni. So when the davagush is sitting on a klisheni, klishlishi kervi, 100 times over, so that was the chumrah of the mashal, and that's what the Ramah disagreed. But even the Ramah agrees, if you take a piece of food out of the pot and you put it directly onto a plate, that's not called klisheni yet. That's called iri klirishon. That's something which is pouring, that's like something pouring out of a pot. So when something's pouring out of a pot, that may be much, much worse than just klisheni. So comes the Ramon and says, Dagam Sha'olu Bekara means I'm taking a big hot piece of fish and I'm putting it down onto a kara. That's a kara that I just put a piece of meat onto before. So that's not called derech klisheni. That's not called the chumr of davagush. That's called iri kli rishon. Iri kli rishon. Everybody knows iri kli rishon. It's like kli rishon, maybe. So we'll talk about that as we go on. So bottom line is, the Ramon didn't see if any of these rayas, any raya whatsoever. So part of the discussion that the later poskim have within this original machlokes, this the Hetzer, the Mashal, the Ramah, whether davar gush is considered to be the equivalent always of a Kli Rishon, was maybe one could differentiate between Aruch Chaim and Yoreh Deh in this area. Maybe one could argue that even if you hold that there's such a principle called davar gush, maybe davar gush is only a problem in terms of creating belials. Maybe it doesn't, it's still not considered to be Bishul. Again, this is still part of the old theory. Maybe Bishul and Bli are not exactly the same. So maybe one can argue that Davar Gush is potentially still called the Kli Rishon. Whenever the Halacha speaks about Bishul, so then it's going to fall short. Why would one think that? So some of the Chachamim want to bring a raya from the Sugya in Maseches Chul, beginning of the 8th parak. Remember, the Gemara was searching high and low for Bas Bechol of the Arayis. Remember that? The Gemara was trying to figure out, Where's the case of Bas Bechol of the rice at the table? So the Gemara said, it's not hot. The Gemara says, no, it is hot. The Gemara says, it's a klisheni. The Gemara says, no, it's a Kli Rishon. And we added on by saying, there's no fire. The Gemara says, how come there is a fire? The Gemara really, really worked hard to try to find the case, because otherwise we don't understand why they made a gezeira not to have flesh and simuchas on the same table. What's the big deal if there's no deraisa on the table altogether? So the Gemara worked really, really hard. So some of the Chachamim write, why did Gemara have to work so hard? Some people put this right. Why did Gemara have to work so hard to find a case to make it into a Kli Rishon? Why did Gemara just put two hot foods? I'm eating my big steak, and you're eating your big hot piece of cheese. So maybe that's considered to be davagush, and that's always called the Kli Rishon. The Gemara had to make it Hocham Askin, and the Meshuggah is eating out of the pot. One thing was, he's not eating out of the pot, he's eating out of a plate. But what he's eating happens to be Kli Rishon, because it's a davagush. So you see from here that, either you see one of two things. Either you see from here that davagush doesn't exist altogether. There is no such category called davagush. It's all considered to be Kli Sheni. Or maybe you see somehow that Bishol is different. Why should you think that Bishol is different? So here you may be able to further differentiate between Bishol b'Shabbos and Bishol for Bas B'Cholov. Why should you make such a difference? Because Bishol for Bas B'Cholov, it's not enough just to have Bishol. What does it have to be? It's got to be Bishol. What do you mean by that? Sli is not Chayev. Afi is not Chayev for Bas B'Cholov. The only time Bas B'Cholov is violated in the Torah, it has to be liquid. It has to be B'Cholov Himay. We spoke about this Tosis for sure. Tosis and Sen and Tavdalit. Okay. Coming attractions hopefully next year. Tavdalit of a base. Tosis quotes that one opinion that the only time that this Bishol Derais and Bas B'Cholov, it has to be Tzolul Kamayim. It's got to be B'Cholov. It's got to be milk. It's not enough to have cheese. If you have a steak and a piece of hot cheese that touch one another, that's not going to be called Bishol for Bas B'Cholov purposes. Maybe that's called Bishol for Shabbos purposes. That's possible. Maybe Davagush, if you take a hot potato and you put some raw spices onto the hot potato, even though the hot potato is in a Kli Revi, maybe that's Bishol Derais. It's possible. Maybe. But Bishol Bas B'Cholov is not going to be. So just because the Gemara doesn't introduce Davagush into the Sugya, the beginning of Perek HaBasar, is not conclusive of anything. Half the poskim wanted to bring a raya. You see from the fact that Gemara didn't quote Davagush, that Davagush doesn't exist. The other half of the poskim said, no, Davagush exists, but it doesn't create Bishol. The other half of the poskim say, no, it affects Bliyas, it affects Bishol. Bishol B'Shav is here, but Bishol B'Bas B'Cholov, no. So you have three different possible conclusions. And math isn't so good because we have three halves, but the bottom line is that there are different approaches as to why the Gemara didn't introduce Davagush here. So with all the dust settles, we're still not sure what the story was with Davagush. So in Hilchos Shabbos, so the poskim write lechatchila to be machmir on this, that we try not to put raw foods onto dvarim gushim. This starts to create all kind of funny chumras in Hilchos Shabbos. When you start having your hot piece of chicken that's sitting on your plate on Shabbos, then you have your salad on the same plate. Some poskim like to have separate plates to keep the food separate. These are already chumras, agav chumras. These are all assuming that there is such a thing called davagush. So again, so we're not sure exactly whether the rules of Kli Sheni spill over from Shabbos to Bas B'Cholov, to Tarovus altogether. And then even within the definitions of what's called the Kli Rishon Kli Sheni, we're not quite sure where Davagush fits in. And even how it fits into Yerodeya doesn't necessarily translate to mean it fits into Hilchos Shabbos. And there may be differences even within Yerodeya between Bliyas and Bas B'Cholov may not all be working in the same definition. When we talk about Bliyas taking place, So whenever we speak about Kli Rishon, so both in Shabbos and in Yerodeya, it's not just enough to be a Kli Rishon, it has to be a significant amount of heat as well. How hot does it have to be? So presumably it has to be Yatzah Letters Bo. So the Gemara doesn't say that exactly in Masech Shabbos. Remember we spoke about this last year. The Gemara talks about the sheer Bishol in order for something to become this Basho. Let's say if I take water and I heat up the water, so the Gemara says if I heat it up to the point of Yatzah Letters Bo, that's considered to be Bishol. The Gemara never says explicitly, if I'm not cooking the water, but rather I already have hot water, and now I'm throwing raw spices into that water, so how hot must the Dover HaMivashel be? So the Dover HaMisvashel, as long as it reaches Yatzah Letters Bo, that's a problem. How hot must the Dover HaMivashel be? That's unclear. So we saw one of the days in Mishnah last year, remember the Mordechai said, maybe it has to be Roschen. That was the Lashon of Mishnah, it says Roschen, it has to be mamish boiling hot. And we assume not the way. We assume that the cutoff point for the Mivashel or for the Mizbashel is always Yatzah Letters Bo. So in Yerodeya, we also assume anything beneath the point of Yatzah Letters Bo is not really a problem. So when we speak about beneath the point of Yatzah Letters Bo, being a Hetagoma, there's nothing to worry about. Is there any exception to that rule? So going back to that cryptic Rishami, remember we had the Rishami we spoke about in the Rarichas on Sunday, Rishami has a phrase, Asur HaChokal Kli Rishon. Rishami says that the Chazal made a Gezeira, Siyag, HaChokal, not to do things in a Kli Rishon. So what exactly did that mean, Asur HaChokal Kli Rishon? So we had a Machlokes Poskim. Some Poskim said that meant that the whole institution of Kli Rishon is a HaChokal. The whole idea of a Kli Rishon, Shalom Gabi Eish, is only a Chumah Midi Rabbanan. And others who didn't want to buy, even into Rishami saying that, forget what the Baal was saying, that even Rishami weren't sure said that. So here, if the Achranim write, that also a Chokal Kli Rishon means that in Kli Rishon, you're not supposed to be cooking. You have to assume there's a problem, even if the water is beneath the point of Yatzal Edesbo. Because since generally Kli Rishons are Yatzal Edesbo, so if every once in a while it's beneath Yatzal Edesbo, that's going to be a problem. You don't want to get confused. So therefore, Asur Achakal Kli Rishon, you shouldn't cook in Kli Rishon even if it's 95 degrees. So according to that version of the Rishabi, maybe that would be true in your day also. That Asur Achakal Kli Rishon, that any problem that goes wrong in a Kli Rishon, so you don't have to bother measuring temperature. It's always going to be a problem. Asur Achakal Kli Rishon. So some posts can say that. We generally don't assume that way. We're not sure we accept that Rishami altogether. We're not even sure what the Rishami said. So we usually assume that anything beneath Yatzal Edesbo is okay. So Yatzal Edesbo is an important mark. If it's in a Kli Rishon, it would still be mutter. And once it's in a Kli Sheni, so then we assume that a Kli Sheni Mikra Din is probably no Blias altogether. And Bishul and Shabbos may not be either. There is another possible temperature for liquid that may be important in Aloha, and that's what the Poskim discussed, Yad Nichves Bo. If you have water that's really, really super duper duper hot, not just that you pull your hand away, but you'll it'll get so hot you mamish burn your hand. I was just doing yesterday when I was kashering my stovetop. So the Poskim said that on the stovetop, so you really only need Libun Kal. Because we spoke about this, ain't Kli Balem, Kli anywhere. We spoke about this. So you don't really need Libun anyway. And the rest of the year, you don't really need it for a tray for stovetop. But on Pesach, the minig is to be chayshish for that, for the Ran, right? That this Bliya, do we talk about this? Right? This Bliya Mikli Lekli. So the Paul Mishnah Berurah writes, but more than Libun Kal you don't need. So the Mordechai writes that the shear for Libun Kal is either they quote the shear that you have to put a piece of straw there and it'll burst into flame. So I didn't try that. We don't usually do that. Or if you if the whole Kli becomes Yatzal Edesbo, we base the other, anywhere in the Kli is already Yatzal Edesbo, so the entire Kli is Yatzal Edesbo, so that's already for sure, you already reached the point of a Libun Kal. So I was trying to figure out about how long it takes that to happen, and we've been doing this for over 40 years, just since I was in the year, a day of mindset, I was trying to figure out about how long this takes to happen. So I didn't volunteer to put my own, I didn't volunteer to put anybody's fingers on the stovetop as it was burning, but what I did was, is that I didn't touch the burner, but I touched a little far away, just the enamel part, a foot away from where the actual flame was. That was mamash Yatzal Edesbo. I put my hand there, I had to put my hand away from that, so it didn't take that much to figure out that the burners themselves had reached Yatzal Edesbo significantly before that. So we decided how long it takes. I think I have to do another stuff tonight. I'll try to document that a little bit better, maybe. But Lemaise, it doesn't. My gut feeling was it doesn't take all that long. You turn the flames high. I imagine very, very quickly that. I think Chabit Tzachem Kulo. I think helps you out in this one. So, okay. Anyway, getting back to the story. So there is another shear called Yad Nichves Bo. Not that your hand's going to pull away, but your hand's going to. Mama's going to burn your hand. So is that shear important at all? Does that make any sense at all? So there is another Rishami that talks about that. In a totally different context, Rishami is talking about the sugyas of Trumas and Maisras as a din, that something doesn't become Tevel min HaTorah until it has a whole a bunch of different procedures that are met. It has to have what's called Gemar Malacha, it has to have what's called Rias Perei Abayis, then and only then is there a real Chiyuv to be made for Trumas and Maisras. If some of these things are missing, so then Midrabanan, sometimes you still have to be made for Trumas and Maisras, and sometimes not. What makes the Yisrael Rabbanon? What's Bechayev to be Mafish to the Rabbanon? So if you do something that's Chashev, if you do what's called Kviyas to something, so certain things are Kveya, what's called Kveya L'maisa. So Mishnah is thinking about this. It's about Makovim L'maisa. So one of the things that's Kveya L'maisa is you start to cook the food up. If you have this stuff that's Tevel, and Min HaTorah, it just hasn't quite finished all the process necessary to become Chayev to the Maisa, but you start to prepare it in the kitchen, you're cooking it already, that's already a Dovah Shal Chashivash, so that's a Kveya L'maisa. So in the middle of that discussion, so the Rishami talks about how much does it have to be cooked. So the Rishami talks about if you cook up this tevel, even though you're not cooking it in a regular klerisha, in a regular manner of cooking, but it reached the point of Yad Nichves Bo, so no matter what, even if it's not in a regular klerisha, that would still be a problem called the bishul. So the Chayyadam discovered this Rishami and says, you see for this Rishami, that something can be called bishul even if it doesn't meet the regular criteria of klerisha, of normal halacha. If it gets so hot, it's hard to say it's not in his bashel. So that's the Chayyadim quote. So therefore, Nuchel Shabbos, so the Chayyadim says, we should be machmir not to cook even a Kli Shlishis, a Kli Revis, a Kli Asiris. We shouldn't cook with anything if the water is so hot. If you take mamash a boiling cup of water and you want to pour uncooked spices into that, that should be a potential problem based on this Yerushalmi. If that's the case, then that may carry over to Tara Avis also, because again, the whole distinctions that we're having between Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni is all borrowing over the cloth of Rosh Shabbos. So if that Chayyod met Rishami writes, then maybe that should be a problem as well. So the Chazon Ish writes that he doesn't think that Rishami is relevant at all. He says he thinks that Rishami, the Rishami didn't quote this Rishami. Until Chayyodim came along, nobody quote this Rishami. So he says he thinks that Rishami was a quirk in Huchas Maisras. It's a Chumah Midrabanan and Kviyas Maisras. There's not a din that's relevant in other areas of Halacha Huchas Bishul, and therefore it's not true in Shabbos. It's not true in Shabbos, and by extension, it's not going to be true in your day as well. So again, we usually assume that if something is in a Klisheni, no matter how hot it is, the Ikimikra din, they really know who he is. We try anyway to be concerned with Klisheni, because when maybe the Rashba's right, maybe those Rishonim and the Rashba are right, that Yerodea doesn't have any of the coolers of Klisheni, but assuming that Yerodea follows the rules of Hilchos Shabbos, that prop, that the Chayyodim dug up in Hilchos Shabbos, probably we don't even accept it in Hilchos Shabbos. Kavachom, we're not going to accept it in Yerodea. So we're still continuing the same theme, that we want to know exactly what a Kli Rishon and what a Kli Sheni is, and Hilchos Shabbos we really, really want to know. And Yerodea, we kind of want to know. We're interested in Yerodea also to know a little bit what's considered to be a Kli Rishon and what's considered to be a Kli Sheni. So there is a major, major question. We spent about a whole week on this last year in terms of this middle category, what's called Iroi. What exactly is the status of Iroi Kli Rishon? So Iroi means that instead of putting something into the Kli Rishon, I'm pouring the contents out of the Kli Rishon. So I'm pouring boiling water onto something. So is that a problem on Shabbos? Can I take boiling water from a Kli Rishon, take a tea kettle, and pour it onto a tea bag on Shabbos? Is that considered to be Bishul? Would I carry this over to Yerodea? If I take a pot of milk, and I pour the milk onto something fleshix, so is that considered to be like it took place in the Kli Rishon? Or do I say once the food exits the Kli Rishon, it's already considered to be Kli Sheni? So what's the point of midstream? Is midstream considered to be the halacha equivalent of where it came from? Or is midstream considered to be the halacha equivalent of where it lands? That's the basic machlokes. So how many shittas in Rishonim? At least three, four, maybe, depending on what you call. So a couple of major shittas in Rishonim, what the answer to that question is. So we'll start with the most extreme shittah, the kula, and that is the shittah sahu. Who's the biggest maker? The Rashbam. So Tosfos quotes the Rashbam in Masechet Shabbos and in Masechet Pesachim. And in Masechet Zvachah, every place the sugya comes up. So Tosfos quotes the same story from the Rashbam. That the Rashbam used to say that Iroi is considered to be like a Kli Sheni, and therefore whatever halachas govern Kli Sheni will govern Iroi as well. What was the most important part of this Rashbam? About Bishul and Shabbos. When it comes to Bishul and Shabbos, Kli Sheni, Einim, Avash, finished. I mean, except for Kaliyah Bishul and the Rabbanans, that kind of stuff. But basically, Mikra Din, Kli Sheni, and Mevasho. Therefore, the Rashbam who said that Iroi is Dinika Kli Sheni. So just as Kli Sheni and Mevasho, Iroi, which is Dinika Kli Sheni, and Mevasho as well. And therefore, the Rashbam says it's perfectly permissible to take a boiling water out of your tea kettle and pour that boiling water onto raw food, because that's mamish nothing. That's the equivalent of Kli Sheni and Mevashel. It's Het Gomim in HaTorah. The Rashbam held it's Het Gomim in HaRabbanan. Kli Sheni and Mevashel Klal V'Klal. Therefore, we said, according to the Rashbam, it would be very, very easy to make tea on Shabbos. Just take your tea bag and pour boiling water onto your tea bag, and sure, everything is Mutal Gamri, according to the Rashbam. Kli Sheni and Mevashel, Iris Din Kli Sheni. How in the world did the Rashbam know that this is true? Where did he get this idea that Kli Sheni is that the Iroi is Dinik Kli Sheni? So the Rashbam dug up a Gemara in the seventh parak of Maseches Pesachim. I remember one year Rabbi Willer gave a whole series of shiurim in his shul on Pesach about all the dinim of Yerodea as relates to the Korban Pesach, because a whole bunch of sugyas in the beginning of the seventh parak, Cham, right, Ilogav, the Sugavar, all those sugyas all start as Korban Pesach sugyas. So that became the whole week of shiurim. I mean, I don't know if he does this anymore, but when I was growing up, so he used to try to give themes of Shurim over a whole yontif. So remember, one year he gave the Yerodea theme, and one year he gave the Chesh HaMishpa theme. He gave everything that you want to know about related to Sugyas, Lamed Shesugyas, and Chesh HaMishpa. So I remember he spoke about all the Sugyas about Baal Chayv, Mafreya Goyv, Mikael Habu, Goyv, the Sugyas of Sachem, Daf Mamed Aleph, all the Dinim of Gvias HaChayv, and Shibir Rabbi Nosson. So remember that one year, so Rabbi Osben, Shalit Rashid from Telz, was in Riverdale, so that year he was home for Pesach. So remember, every day of Yontif, the two of them were just arguing about, I was a teenager at the time, the whole show was just watching. They were fighting about Shabbat Rabbi Nosson, they were fighting about Bachayvu Gaiva, what do they have to do with Pesach? Nothing. There was a lot of interesting, it started at Chometz Shabbos. So remember the year that he spoke about Yerodea, so we started with this sugya with the in the seventh battle of Masechet Pesachim. So the Gemara has a whole discussion about Ilah Gava versus Tasa Gava. If you have two hot foods that touch together, that's called Kham B'Kham, there's Bliyas. If you have two cold foods that touch each other, that's called Tzadim B'Tzadim B'Hadach, there's no Bliyas. If you have one hot and one cold, so then what do you do? Is that considered to be Kham or is that considered to be Tzadim? So the Gemara quotes Machlekes Rav and Shmuel. Rav says Ilah Gava. Rav says, whichever one is on top, that sets the standard. If the top one is cold, so that's called Tzaynin, and there's no Bliyas. If the top one is hot, that's called Resech, that's called Cham, and then you have a problem. And Shmuel says the exact opposite. Shmuel says Tasogover. It all depends on what the bottom one is. If the bottom one is hot, then there are Bliyas. If the bottom one is cold, then there are no Bliyas. So how do we paskin? Usually Rav and Shmuel, we paskin like Rav. So here the Gemara says, quotes a Brice that's about Shmuel, that Tasogover. So a good way to remember is that heat rises. So everything, whatever's on the bottom, that's what really matters. So we pass the lach of the Sogavar. So the Rishbam says that if you look at that Gemara about the Sogavar, and you look at Eroi, so you'll realize that you're doing the identical thing. Because when you have a cup of a tea bag sitting in my cup, so that tea bag is cold. I'm pouring hot water onto that tea bag, so I'm going from top hot to bottom cold. So what happens when you have something on top that's hot, something on the bottom that's cold? What does the Gemara say? We pass like Shmuel. Nothing happens. No change whatsoever. The Tasar Gavar, the Allah is determined by what's on the bottom. So therefore, the Rashbam says, every Eroi is an automatic application of the Klal of the Tasar Gavar, and therefore nothing happens. There's no Bishl. Everything is Ezeh Tegomor. That was the Rashbam's big riot. So his younger brother, Ibn Atam, turned around and he asked his brother, he said, wait a second. He said, that Gemara is against you. The very Gemara that you bring is a riot against you. Why? Because the Gemara says that even though it's true that the Tasar Gavar, we pass it like Shmuel, but the Gemara says it's inconceivable that there's going to be no Bliyas. Says the Gemara, what's the famous klal? The Mekele Bolele. The Gemara says, as the hot top is interacting with the cold bottom, there's not going to be a full-fledged Bliyah, but as the bottom cold is cooling off the top hot, there's going to be some, a little bit of Bliyah. How much of Bliyah is going to be? The Mekele Bolele, what's the famous line of the Gemara? Klipa mia boy. That's the one of the very, very few places where the Gemara actually uses klipa. Remember, we spoke a lot about this back in Tzadi Aleph when we spoke about Shirim of Balei Kiraseach and Tzliz and all these kinds of stuff. So we saw Rishon throwing around klipas, right? We saw, right, the Gemara says in the seventh parak of Chulin that when you have a Balei, when you have a Balei derech Bishol, then it's a Balei Bakulo. When you have a Balei derech Tzli, it's a very, very limited Balei. But the Gemara never says how much it is. So Taisa says, oh, it must be a Bliya of Klippa, because Klippa is the only other mini Bliya that we ever heard of. So we had a whole discussion. Is that right? Is that not right? So Klippa appears in 100 places in Yerodeya, but in the Gemara itself, it doesn't appear in many places. So this is one of the places that the Gemara actually uses the phrase Klippa. So comes the Gemara and says that it's true that the Tasagav, the bottom one, takes over, but in the process of taking over, it also gets a little bit of a Bliya as well. And that translates to mean a klipa. So Ibn Atam turned around to his brother and he said, I agree to your moshul. Moshul, gavalik moshul. You're pouring hot water onto cold tea bags. So it's tasar gavar. Perfect, beautiful, tasar gavar. But, says Ibn Atam, it's true there's not going to be a bishul bakulo. The entire tea bag won't get cooked. But part of the tea bag is going to get cooked. And to make a lebolala, it's going to be a little bit of a bishul and a little bit of a kadeh klipa. And in Hilchos Shabbos, that's enough of a problem. So therefore, Ibn Atam says, you can't be matir pouring hot water onto the tea bag, because you're going to be mevashel, at least could they klipa us. That's a problem. So maybe you won't be chayef skila for that, because it'll be less than a gregaris. Okay, good. But it's still chatz shiras in the Torah. As the Gemara says in Shabbos, I have chimut lefos pachas b'kashir. Either the rice or the rabban and rashi, chamtzvik, l'leshik, l'chazor. Okay, you're not allowed to cook even small, man, even less than a gregaris. So Ben Atam said, he doesn't know how the Rashbam solved the problem. The Gemara that he quoted to create his whole sheet of ignoring the hot stuff on top, that goof is a rye against him. So what's the answer for the Rashbam? Rashbam knew that Gemara. He quoted that Gemara. He knew that Gemara. So what happened to that line about the Klippas? That's what the Shach writes. That he thinks, no, the Rashbam is stomach held that Bli is Lachud and Bishul Lachud. And when the Gemara says that Ad Mekel Bola, Yeshu Lo Bola Port, it's got to be Bola, at least a Klippa, you're right. It's Bola, at least a Klippa. But no more than a Klippa. And in terms of Blias, that's true. But in terms of Bishul, no, does Bishul do anything? The Gemara never says it's Mavashul Kadei Klippa. The Gemara says it's Mavliya Kadei Klippa. So yes, in Yerodeya, that would be a problem. In Hilchos Shabbos, where the Rashbam was originally quoting, it's not a problem. So in terms of what does Tasar Gavar do, Tasar Gavar does two things. In Hilchos Bishul, it does Mamish nothing. And in Hilchas Bliyas, at least it creates a, knocks it all the way down to Kedei Klipa. So in Hilchas Shabbos, the Rashbam would respond, says the Shach, in Hilchas Shabbos, there's no way it's going to be Mavliyat Shabbos. The Yisran Shabbos is going to be Mavashel. Bishul, absolutely no Bishul occurs in a, with a Tasagava, which is the Halacha equivalent of an Iroi. So this Machloikis now, we now have a secondary Machloikis in the Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam. Not just the Machloikis about the Etzem Mishael about Iroi, but we have a conceptual Machloikis, whether that Gemara Pesachim is a Raya for the Rashbam or a Raya against the Rashbam. What are the Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam really arguing about? This is a throwback to the Rashba, namely just how identical are the rules of Bishul of Liyah. From the fact that the Rashbam has to be Bechach the Shachas, I have to say the Shach, otherwise there's no way to defend the Rashbam. So the Rashbam must be working with the mindset that Bliyas and Bishul are different from one another. Whereas Rabbeinu Tam, who brought the Raya against the Rashbam, Rabbeinu Tam knew the Gemara wasn't talking about Bishul, and Rabbeinu Tam still brought the Raya from Bliyah. Seven from the Rabbeinu Tam was understanding that Bliyas and Bishul really go hand in hand. So we have a twofold machlokes that's developing for us. There's a general machlokes about what Iri is, and then there's the underlying Lamdisha, conceptual machlokes, just how similar are Bishul and Bliyah to one another. Is that a question before? No. Okay, okay, enough time, so we have a question.
Yeah, just the topic idea.
I don't think so. So these are the two primary shittas in Tosfos, the shittas of Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam. But there's the third opinion that Tosfos refers to in a few places. In Masechet Zvachim, they don't identify who it is. It's the Yesh Mefarshim, some place it may be the Reed. It's not clear exactly who this other opinion is, but it's possible that. It's possible to want to say that Iroi is mamish like a Kli Rishon. Not the Rashbam's Klisheini, not even Rabbeinu Tam's watered down Kli, Mavashal Klipa. Maybe it's mamish Mavashal Bekulo. It's a complete Bishul, complete Kli, everything. It's mamish like a regular Kli Rishon. If that's the case, then you have to do a little bit of work with the Gemara Pesachim, because the Gemara Pesachim does talk about merely accomplishing the feat of Kedei Klipa. So obviously we have to say here is that that Gemara Pesachim is not really identical with Iroi. What's the difference? So although both the Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam thought that the Gemara Pesachim is basically the same cloud as Iroi, they were just finding out what conclusion we draw. Tosfos and Zvachim quotes Yesh Befarshim who say no. That Gemara is not the same at all, based on the following. Iroi means that there's a continual flow. Iroi means that I'm pouring from a tea kettle, and the water is still connected to the tea kettle. It's coming out, and hitting the tea bag. Whereas in the Gemara, in Pesachim, about Iloa Govar and Tasa Govar, so it's coming out, it's just, there's no connection anymore. It's just kind of a plopping out. So I'm taking a hot piece of something and plopping it down onto something that's cold. So that's what's called Iroi Shenisach HaKiluach, which we're going to probably get to if the Yontif. But Iroi Shenisach HaKiluach is not even the exact same thing as regular Iroi. So once you say that Gemara in Maseches Pesachim is not even part of the discussion, then you can say whatever you want. Then if you want to talk about Iroi Shenisach HaKiluach, then you're free to say you want to say Kol Klibishin, Klishe, call whatever you want. So that's what Yesh Mefarshim and Tazin Zvachim says. That maybe it's considered to be a mevasher makulo. It's not because it'd be like a klirishon. So we have the halacha three different possibilities: either Iroi, at least in Bishul, is mevasher makulo, or Iroi is not mevasher at all, or Iroi is somewhere in the middle, like Rabbeinu Tam, that's kedei klipa. Even within the shita of the Rashbam, that Iroi is considered to be like klisheni. The Rashbam explained why it's like klisheni. He explains like klisheni because it's superseded by when it hits the bottom. It means the dover on the bottom, the cold tea bags, has the ability somehow to be mevatel that koich of bishul from the hot water. So you see of a nuance of this Rashbam from his raya from the Gemara Pesachim that he understood that which he's telling you that Iroi loses its klishon status, that doesn't happen until what point? Until it hits the bottom. One could have suggested a different part. I could have suggested that maybe Iroi loses its Kli Rishon part once it exits the Kli Rishon in the first place. It's a permutation of the Shittas of Rashbam. The Rashbam himself didn't say that. The Rashbam said it's a delayed reaction. It only loses its Kli Rishon once it gets swallowed up by the cold stuff in the bottom. But one could have made an argument that maybe it loses its Kli Rishon from the minute that it exits the Kli Rishon. Who was that? That was Rabbeinu Yonah. That's what the Rambam said on Shabbos, quotes from Rabbeinu Yonah, who held that way. Rabbeinu Yonah said it as a big chumra. We usually think that once something becomes klisheni, that's better for us. That's more kal. So Rabbeinu Yonah said it mamash the other way around. Rabbeinu Yonah said that there's a terrible mikshol that he sees a lot of people doing. He felt it was such a mikshol that he quotes it. Ryan quotes it in Shabbos, and it's quoted from the Shear Tshuva. In the Sefer Shear Tshuva, right? It's also it's a big mikshol people do on Shabbos. Is that they want to take water out of a china or something, and they want to pour the boiling water into their chilling pot in order to make sure the food doesn't dry up. So the Rabbeinu Yonah says that he thinks that may be a problem of bishul d'araisa. Why? Because the minute that you pour the water out of your tea kettle, so it exits the Kli Rishon. Once it exits the Kli Rishon, it hasn't even landed yet. Once it exits the Kli Rishon, so then it's automatically considered to be labeled as Kli Sheni. Not because of the Rashbam, because it hits the bottom. Just the mere fact that it left, that's already considered to be Kli Sheni. Once it's considered to be Kli Sheni, so Kli Sheni is the equivalent of being cold. It's also a Kiddush. That once it's Kli Sheni, so halachically it's considered to be cold. Once it's cold, then it's like a Dov Alach, Shenit Stanein, which is subject to Yesh Bishul Acha Bishul, which is also Machlekes. So the Rabbeinu Yonah has a few assumptions here. So therefore, what you're really doing is you're cooking water halachically for the first time. You're cooking a Dov Shalom Bashel. Because when it comes to Dvarim Lachim, even though it was physically cooked at one time, once it cools off, it's considered to be no longer cooked. Cooled off doesn't mean like the Tzayin Lekamah, like the Ramah says. Cooled off means it dips beneath the Yatzah Lettuce bow. And says the Rabbeinu Yonah, even if it didn't literally dip beneath the Yatzah Lettuce bow, but if it left the Kli Rishon already, so that's halachically like dipping beneath the Yatzah Lettuce bow. So basically, pouring water out of your tea kettle into your chillin is Mamash Issa D'Oraisa Bishul. Therefore, the Rabbeinu Yonah is very upset about it. Therefore, he says, you got to tell people it's a machshela, it's a big mikshel, you got to stop everybody from doing this. The halacha, we don't accept this Rabbeinu Yonah because we disagree with a lot of the Nakudas along the way. Because the Ramaz Machriya in Shini Yechas, that we paskin that Me'it Mikra Din probably ain't Bishul Acha Bishul, even by Devalach. When Machmin Ramaz says, if it's Nitzan of the Gamre, if it's Lo Nitzan of the Gamre, so then it's totally Mutter, even with Hakhila. So we hold that even if it's already in a clear Revi, but if it's still warm enough to eat it the way it is, so then it's all right. So Kavach Chaymer, if it's mamish boiling hot, it's 211 degrees, but it just happened to have exited the Kli Rishon. So for sure there's no Bishul Acha Bishul in that. So we're not as concerned with this Rabbeinu Yonah because of technical issues along the way. But the basic fundamental premise of Rabbeinu Yonah is still possible that maybe Iroi becomes like a Kli Sheni, not when it lands on the bottom like the Rashbam, but just the mere fact that it exits the Kli Rishon. So we have three shittas lahalacha in terms of Iroi, and we have the within the shita that's like Kli Sheni. We're not quite sure whether the Rashbam's version, we're not quite sure whether it's the Rabbeinu Yonah's version. So this whole discussion now becomes critical for us for your day also, because since again, we're going along the lines that Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni are really important for us in your day. If you hold like the Machmirim in your day, like the Rashba, that everything is also the Kli Sheni anyway, all of Tarevis, all of Simon Kufhei in your day applies even in Kli Shenis, so then I don't really care all that much about Kli Rishon versus Kli Sheni versus Iroi. But La Halacha, that we care a lot about Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni, because Me'ikra Din, Machmir Hefset for sure, we pass in Kli Sheni really is not a problem. So we have to really be certain that we have Kli Sheni Shas. We have to make sure whether we have Iroi or don't have Iroi. So we spoke about this already. We spoke about the sinks and the Iroi's and Shnifsuk and not Nifsuk and the dishwashers. So Iroi is an important Shas. So we have to spend a little bit more time on Iroi. So what's the Dintaka? Who's right? Rashbam, Benitam, the Yesh Befershim, who's right? So you got to learn a lot of Sugyas to try to figure who's right. So maybe after Yom we'll try to learn through some of the Sugyas a little bit. The Sugyas from Tzachim, Sugyas from Tzvachim, all the different Sugyas that impact upon this fundamental Shaila. The Shach in Kufei, that long, long Shach, where he references his long, long discussion in the Shach Aruch. Anyone bother looking it up? No? So the Shach Aruch, 20 pages. So 18 of those pages have to do with Hebrew. He talks a lot about the different rides back and forth. So we'll try to discuss it a little bit less than the Kitzah version of the Shach we'll talk about, and then move on to the Shach. When does Shiva start again? Right after? First Tuesday. Okay, so we have a little